ओमज्ञानतिमिरं दस्या ज्ञानञ्जनसलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयमुपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगनरगनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सवदूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगनललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवसदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So this evening we're going to read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 40. Correct? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Partha Naiveha Namutra Vinasasthasya vidyate Nahi kalyana kritkaschit Durgatim tata gacchati Shri Bhagavan uvacha Partha naiveha namutra Vinashastasya vidyate Nahi kalyana kritkaschit Durgatim tata gacchati Shri Bhagavan uvacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said Partha, O son of Pritha, na eva, never is it so, iha, in this material world, na, never, amutra, in the next life, vinasha, destruction, tasya, his, Vidyate exists. Na, never. He certainly can kalyana krit. One who is engaged in auspicious activities. Kaschid, anyone. Durgatim, to degradation. Tata, my friend, gacchati, goes. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.17, Sri Narada Muni instructs Vyasadeva as follows, Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harer vajana pakvota patetato yadi yatra kvavabhadram abudhamushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmata. If someone gives up all material prospects and takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no loss or degradation in any way. On the other hand, a non-devotee may fully engage in his occupational duties and yet not gain anything. For material prospects, there are many activities, both scriptural and customary. A transcendentalist is supposed to give up all material activities for the sake of spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness. One may argue that by Krishna consciousness, one may attain the highest perfection if it is completed. But if one does not attain such a perfectional stage, then he loses both materially and spiritually. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one has to suffer the reaction for not executing prescribed duties. Therefore, one who fails to discharge transcendental activities properly becomes subjected to these reactions. The Bhagavatam assures the unsuccessful transcendentalist that there need be no worries, even though he may be subjected to the reaction for not perfectly executing prescribed duties. He's still not a loser, because auspicious Krishna consciousness is never forgotten, and one so engaged will continue to be so, even if he is low-born in the next life. On the other hand, one who simply follows strictly the prescribed duties need not necessarily attain auspicious results if he's lacking in Krishna consciousness. The purport may be understood as follows. Humanity may be divided into two sections, namely the regulated and the non-regulated. Those who engage simply in bestial sense gratifications without knowledge of their next life or spiritual salvation belong to the non-regulated section. And those who follow the principles of prescribed duties in the scriptures are classified amongst the regulated section. The non-regulated section, both civilized and non-civilized, educated and non-educated, strong and weak, are full of animal propensities. Their activities are never auspicious because while enjoying the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, defending and mating, they perpetually remain in material existence, which is always miserable. On the other hand, those who are regulated by scriptural injunctions and who thus rise gradually to Krishna consciousness certainly progress in life. Those who are following the path of auspiciousness can be divided into three sections, namely, one, the followers of scriptural rules and regulations who are enjoying material prosperity. Two, those who are trying to find ultimate liberation from material existence. And three, those who are devotees in Krishna consciousness. Those who are following the rules and regulations of the scriptures for material happiness may be further divided into two classes, those who are fruit of workers and those who desire no fruit for sense gratification. Those who are after fruit of results for sense gratification may be elevated to a higher standard of life, even to the higher planets, but still, because they're not free from material existence, they are not following the truly auspicious path. The only auspicious activities are those that lead one to liberation. Any activity which is not aimed at ultimate self-realization or liberation from the material bodily concept of life is not at all auspicious. Activity in Krishna consciousness is the only auspicious activity, and anyone who voluntarily accepts all bodily discomforts for the sake of making progress on the path of Krishna consciousness can be called a perfect transcendentalist under severe austerity. And because the Eightfold Yoga system is directed toward the ultimate realization of Krishna consciousness, such practice is also auspicious, and no one who is trying his best in this matter need fear degradation. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Partha Naiveha Namutra Vinasas Tasya Vidyate Nahi Kalyana Kritkaschit Durgatim Tata Gacchati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So, in this chapter, Krishna has described the process of Dhyana Yoga, process of retiring to a solitary place in the forest and controlling the mind and senses through Ashtanga Yoga and fixing his consciousness, his mind and consciousness on the Super Soul, the Lord in the heart. So this way he becomes completely absorbed in a meditation on the Paramatma. So Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, a very active person, he's concerned that this seems to be too difficult a path for him to follow. Arjuna says in verse 33, "O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady." The mind, text 34, "The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind." So then Lord Krishna replies, "O mighty-armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment." 36, "For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success." That is my opinion. So Arjuna is saying this is a very difficult process, maybe too difficult for him, but Krishna is saying, you know, if you follow the process properly, then you will attain success. But then Arjuna is worried. He asks further in text 37, "O Krishna, what's the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism?" 38, "O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere? This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely, but for you no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt." So Krishna has reassured Arjuna that, you know, by proper practice one can control the mind and one can attain success in yoga practice, but Arjuna is further worried that it may be that, you know, in the beginning one is convinced, one takes to the path of spiritual life, he gives up his worldly activities, and then after some period of time he runs into difficulty. But it's too late to turn back, you know, to be successful on the material path. And at the same time, proceeding forward on the spiritual path also seems to be too difficult. So then he's kind of lost his position in both spheres. So he's very concerned, you know, what's going to happen then? This is a valid concern. It's a valid concern. We do see many persons come to Krishna consciousness, giving up their hearth and home, their nice jobs, their families, mother and father, affectionate parents, etc. Sometimes it's even a very bitter split. Person takes to Krishna consciousness and the parents are very upset with the movement, upset with the child, maybe disown their child. You know, he's taken to this, you know, strange movement. So better cut him out of the will, he won't inherit anything. Or even worse, they may hire the deprogrammers. This used to go on back in the 1970s, during Srila Prabhupada's time. There was a notorious the programmer called Ted Patrick. So in Russia they have also nowadays, right? So some parents went to this Ted Patrick, paid him quite a lot of money to arrange a kidnapping of their children back from ISKCON. And some cases they were, I guess, somewhat successful. In others, they weren't. And even there, some big court case took place in one of those situations. So this is, you know, what devotees face sometimes in taking to Krishna consciousness. They have to be very determined, you know, to break away from such opposition, from such difficulties which may be put on their path. So they've given up their material connections. They've taken to spiritual path, but then after some time they start to struggle, too difficult. Maybe they feel like they want to go back again, but there's no way back. Even when that kind of inimical kind of situation doesn't take place, there are also many cases of just persons who joined the Krishna consciousness and practiced for 20 years, 15, 20 years, and then found some difficulty, and then started to regret, I gave up my university education, or I had a good job, now I'm in, a difficult position, I don't have the desire or inspiration to continue on the spiritual path, and I can't go back, it's too late to go back to that, prosperous material life. So this is the kind of question that Arjuna is posing here. This is a dilemma for such a person, but Krishna is giving reassurance in this verse that a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport here has quoted the famous verse spoken by Narada Muni, Chaktvasvadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer. There are different translations of this verse in different places. The translation Prabhupada gives here in the purport is a little different from the one in the Bhagavatam, though the essence, of course, is the same. If I recall correctly, that one who takes to Krishna consciousness and gives up his material obligations may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. But on the other hand, a non-devotee, even though he performs all his material occupational duties very perfectly, he does not gain anything. So, one who has taken to Krishna consciousness maybe falls down due to immaturity, but still, if he continues on the path somehow, if he continues on the path, there's no danger of his being unsuccessful. So whatever spiritual activities a person performs, whatever Krishna conscious activities a person performs, he's going to get spiritual benefit for that. And that spiritual benefit, generally speaking, is going to remain with him. Unless he becomes a serious offender to the Vaishnavas. Only in that case he may lose, his spiritual credits. But generally speaking, if a person has engaged seriously in devotional service and then somehow or other he falls away from the path due to previous attachment to previous bad habits or desire for material sense enjoyment, generally the credits that he has got, they remain with him and he can again take up the process at a later stage. Or if he somehow tries to carry on practicing, even if not very perfectly, still Krishna will give him strength and intelligence to stick to the path and eventually to become properly situated again. So this verse, of course, is speaking, this Chakvasvadharmam verse is speaking completely from the spiritual point of view. Because, you know, we can see there are many persons in the material world, they're very responsible, they're very expert, they're very respected, they may be taking on a lot of different duties in the material society, they may be supporting large families, doing charitable work. In general, performing all material activities very attentively and very expertly. But Bhagavatam says they don't gain anything. But they're surely generating a lot of good karma, which, as we know, can lead them to birth on higher planets. But from the spiritual viewpoint, they're not progressing. In fact, that birth on a higher planet may be just a further detour, further distraction from the real goal of life, or from that activity which is for the best welfare of the soul. Therefore, the Bhagavatam, you know, it just dismisses that kind of material pious activity as being not valuable at all, even though in the material world, you know, it is highly respected and valued. And then on the other hand, you know, it's comparing, Narada Muni's comparing that the person's given up his family, given up his comfortable position in the material world to take the devotional service, then he's run into difficulty. It would seem then that such a person, you know, he'll be disrespected on all sides. You know? The materialists, you know, they'll dismiss him, they won't respect him. And also in the society of transcendentalists, he will not be viewed very favorably. So it seems like a very difficult position to be in. But Krishna is saying, no. Any spiritual activity which is performed in Krishna consciousness is always beneficial for the soul. And somehow or other, if one sticks to the path, even if not very perfectly, Krishna will help him to become stronger, to become more and more determined, more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness. So ultimately he will be successful. Of course, it may be that he doesn't attain perfection in this lifetime. Maybe he'll have to take birth again. But because he's sincerely trying to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna will award him birth in a family where he can continue to practice his Krishna consciousness. And thus he will eventually attain the perfectional stage of life. Of course, an example is there of Bharat Maharaj, who was a highly advanced transcendentalist, yet got distracted by attachment to a deer, as a result of which he had to take birth in the body of a deer. So that would seem to be a very severe fall. It said he was on the platform of Bhava, you know, so to fall down into, you know, the body of a deer, animal's body, seems like a very, very big fall. But as we know from the Bhagavatam, even in a deer's body, he could remember Krishna. He could remember his previous life. Therefore, he stayed near the ashram of some great devotees, and he would listen to them chanting, discussing Krishna Katha, take the remnants of their prasadam. So even in that lowly form of life, he was able to remain Krishna conscious. Krishna helped him because he was a sincere devotee. And of course, in the next lifetime, he became the great transcendentalist, Jarabharat, and attained the perfectional stage of life. and also give very important transcendental instructions, which we can read in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, especially to Maharaj Rahugana. And when the dacoits tried to sacrifice him to the goddess Kali, the goddess herself burst out of the deity and snatched the swords from their hands and cut their heads off. So it shows how much, you know, Krishna loves his devotee, that he inspired Kali to protect Jarabharat in that way. So that's just one example from the scriptures. There are, of course, many examples of devotees who came from difficult circumstances, but by the grace of the Lord, they were able to overcome the difficulties. I mean, Narad Muni himself, in a previous birth, was a Gandharva, and due to some offense committed against a Vaishnavas, he had to take birth in a very low position, the son of a maid servant. But again, Krishna was helping. Krishna arranged that he took birth from a mother who was engaged in the service of Vaishnavas. Therefore, from the very beginning, he was hearing about Krishna taking the remnants of their prasadam and making advancement in spiritual life. So like that, Krishna always remembers his devotee, even though his devotee may sometimes be put into difficult circumstances, quite possibly due to the behavior of the devotee himself, or just by the nature of the material world. Material world is such a place where there's danger at every step, and anyone in this material world can be put into some difficult situation at any time. A devotee always has to be as prepared as possible. And if one finds oneself in difficult situation, bewildered situation, he should go on chanting the holy names of Krishna, go on praying to Krishna, and Krishna will help him to overcome the difficulties, just as Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto, that verse, Tateinu Kampam Susamiksamanam, that even a person who is in difficulty due to reactions of his previous activities, if he goes on glorifying the Lord and engaging in devotional service, ultimately, Krishna will help him to overcome the difficulties and to attain perfection. He just has to tolerate the reactions or the difficulties that may occur in the material world. He has to go on tolerating, because anyway, this body is a source of misery. We are constantly subjected to threefold miseries of material existence. There's danger at every step in the material world. And so one way or another, we're going to have to tolerate. We have to learn to tolerate. Just as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's happiness and distress, which are like the winter and summer season, but one has to learn to tolerate without being disturbed. And the best way to tolerate is to chant the holy names of Krishna, because in this age of Kali, Krishna is present in his holy names. If one chants the holy names, then Krishna is dancing on his tongue, Krishna is entering into his ears. So he is with Krishna, he is associating with Krishna. And Krishna will give that spiritual strength and spiritual stability, so that external material conditions, even if they're very turbulent or unpleasant, somehow or other they will remain external. They cannot actually harm the soul ultimately. If that soul, that person is determined to go on chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness, And gradually those difficulties will drop away and he'll become stronger and stronger and more mature in his spiritual position. And Krishna will reciprocate with such devotee and guide him, send others to guide him, give him the association of serious Vaishnavas, and this will give him protection and strength, and thus he will ultimately reach the perfectional stage of life. He can attain to pure Krishna consciousness. So this is the assurance that Krishna is giving here to Arjuna, that any activity performed in Krishna consciousness is beneficial. The more Krishna conscious activity one does, the more benefit he will get. And even if there are some reverses, some obstacles, some inauspicious elements which may disturb or attack the devotee, if he has that faith and that determination to be Krishna conscious, to continue in Krishna consciousness, then ultimately Krishna will enable him to cross over all the difficulties of material existence. As Krishna says, Daivi hiesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That this material energy of mind, what Krishna calls it divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Very difficult. But if one surrenders to me, he can easily cross beyond it. So like that, we have to take shelter of Krishna, his holy name, his devotees, his instructions, and fill our lives up with those things and reduce all other activities as much as possible, and hopefully to more. Obviously there are devotees on different levels. Some devotees are pure unalloyed devotees, they're nishkama devotees, they have no material attraction or desire, they're highly advanced on the path of spiritual life. Other devotees are maybe struggling with different kinds of material desires. They are sakama devotees, and of course there are all kinds of gradations there. But still, if one remains a devotee, one keeps to the path of Krishna consciousness, then those material desires, they will gradually become reduced to nil, or almost to nil. In any case, the devotee will be able to gain more momentum and more strength in his spiritual practice if he just sticks to the path in the proper way. But one must be careful not to offend the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. One must respect the devotees and cooperate with the devotees, because if one offends the devotees, this can have very serious detrimental effects, and in fact can completely destroy a person's spiritual practice altogether. But if one respects the Vaishnavas and takes shelter in their association, they are always merciful and they will help the devotee to be fixed on the path of devotional service, to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and ultimately to advance to the perfectional stage of life. So, Hare Krishna. Any question here or comment? Yep. Why he
why he does not just stop that devotee from falling into it? He can easily do that.
You feel that they're due to sort of inadvertently offending Vaishnavas?
Yeah.
The first part of the question, Krishna has given us a certain free will, so he does give us a certain amount of slack or rope, if you like, you know. He's not just forcing us to engage in his service. It was mentioned in this morning's class by Bhakti Rupa Prabhu that, you know, Krishna wants the devotee to choose to serve him, himself, you know, because that way he'll do it with more love. You know, he'll have that strong desire to serve Krishna, and he'll understand that that's in his best welfare, you know, and with free will he'll fully, you know, offer himself and the results of his activities to Krishna. So that is very pleasing to Krishna. If Krishna just forcing everyone to serve him in a kind of robot-like manner, this is not nearly so relishable for Krishna. So he does give it that certain amount of, you know, liberty to the living entities, so that they can, you know, see for themselves. They can try for themselves if they want to, you know, try to enjoy material life. They can try. But the intelligent person will realize that he's not getting a genuine satisfaction from that activity. Then he'll choose to engage in devotional service of the Lord. So it's really, just that Krishna is giving that freedom to a living entity, so that he serves from his own desire, from his own heart. Second part, well, yes, I mean, there's always danger on the spiritual path, especially when we're in the association of many devotees. There's always a danger of offending a Vaishnava. We just have to, you know, pray for Krishna's protection, for the protection and goodwill of the devotees, that they'll help us to remain on the right path and to avoid any kinds of offenses. If one has the right intention, even if there may be some minor, you know, faults here and there, or might upset some Vaishnavas, but if you always have a mood of humility and willingness to ask for forgiveness, then, you know, generally the devotees will forgive and he'll be able to progress all right on the path. So humility is very important, and Lord Chaitanya, as we know, he stressed that, no? Trinadapi Sunichena. One should chant in a humble state of mind. He should be ready to offer all respects to others and not expect respect for himself. That's, you know, the best we can do in a sense. I mean, we can't be 100% guarantee we won't make any mistakes. But that's the best, you know, best position. If one has the proper attitude, goes on trying sincerely. So even if there are some, you know, small mistakes here and there, Krishna will help him, the Vaishnavas will help him, and he'll be able to overcome the difficulties and progress on the path. But you know, even if a devotee becomes attracted by Maya, say like Kala Krishna Das, still the Lord, you know, Lord looked out for his welfare. Lord Chaitanya personally went and brought him back. True, when they got back to Puri, he, you know, excluded him from his association. But the devotees, they were very concerned. They wanted to help him. So they asked Lord Chaitanya, you know, is there some service that he can do? He may not be allowed to associate with you personally. Is there some service he can do? And Lord Chaitanya allowed that he could go to Navadvip and inform his mother and the other devotees that Lord Chaitanya had returned from his journey to South India. So like that, you know, even though he did get distracted by Maya, Lord remembered him and saved him and ultimately gave him some service to do. So in this way, you know, if a devotee has that sincere desire to go on serving Krishna, even if there are difficulties, even if he does get bewildered by Maya, Krishna is going to help him. Krishna's devotees are going to help him. Any other point? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanandi.
Well, better go on chanting Hare Krishna. Gradually situation can be, you know, improved. It may not happen all like, you know, just like that, but, you know, gradually if he goes on chanting, if he goes on associating with devotees, his position can be improved. You don't think so?
I believe.
Well, the Vishwanath Chakravarti said you just have to go on with the process, you know. He says, yes, there are different kinds of weaknesses of the heart, which are caused, you know, maybe caused by, you know, some seeds of sinful desire, or some, you know, reactions from sinful activity or previous activities, or due to material attraction or due to offenses. But he says, you know, one just has to keep practicing the process. Keep following the process. Keep chanting Hare Krishna. It may take quite a long time, and maybe a long time of unsteadiness. But still, he says, just keep on practicing. That's his advice. You just have to go on practicing. I mean, that it may be that person's, you know, arrogance also. That's their problem, you know. They'll have to, they'll get some kind of reaction if they're mistreating you. But material world is like that, you know. There's envy, greed, jealousy. So many things are there in the material world.
Sometimes from inside I understand that Krishna loves me, he supports. But out, no, he allows even to beat.
Anyway, he's a tolerant. Prahlad Maharaj, he tolerated, didn't he?
Oh, you mean that now he's so severe at the time of Prahlad?
I don't say, not necessarily, but his position was very severe, but he tolerated. So, you know, our position isn't as severe as that. So we have to tolerate, follow that example.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.